Yo, what's up, people? How are you doing? Hope you're having a pretty good day. My day's going all right. I've just been working, writing with my brother, came up with some funny ideas for some sketches. Sometimes some ideas are like some of this that's like funny when stuff isn't logical, like it doesn't have to make sense, but it's hard for other people to maybe see to do the thing you want them to do. Like I pitched my brother this idea. It's like kind of a shark tank spoof, and I think it's relatively obvious, but nobody's done it. I still think it's hilarious. So this guy walks out, it's normal setup of Shark Tank. You see all the sharks there. You got Mark Cuban, you got Mr. Wonderful, you got the bald guy who's mean to everybody, and you've got the woman who's with the blonde pixie cut. They're all on stage. Okay, guy walks out and he goes, "Hello, sharks." And then shits his pants, just goes, "Oh, God." And then walks away. And then the logo comes up and it's Shark Tank. And that's the whole sketch premise. That's genius, dude. That's genius. And then this is how insane when you're working with people, how insane comedy makes you when you start arguing with them. When Brett's like, if the show is called Shark Tank, then don't they know that they're sharting and that there's the guy's going to shart? So then when he sharts, they're going to be like bidding on the shart. And I'm like, no, because it's funny if it looks like normal Shark Tank and then he shits his pants and then has to leave. It's Shark Tank. And if you do more jokes, now we're like looking in a situation where we're going to overwrite the whole idea like we do every single time. So maybe we just have like a really simple one. Guy walks out, shits his pants. Everyone looks disgusted. Logo, Shark Tank. What do you guys like better? You know? Which one do you think is more funny? I think Shark Tank is hilarious though. It's just really funny to me that someone has all this pomp and circumstance and then just poops their pants immediately. So yeah. That's how I spent my day. How was your day? How was your job? What did you accomplish? I hope it was something great at work. Because what I did was pitch Shark Tank to my brother. And then I have another idea for the Biggest Loser. And which apparently is off the air. I guess its last episode was in 2016. By the way, what a bad show. I'm not sure if I talked about this on the podcast, but whatever. Here we go again. I can't remember everything I've said. And I have a limited brain, so give me a break here. But The Biggest Loser is a terrible show, and here's why. It's because it gives you the idea that in order to lose weight, you have to brutally punish yourself on a treadmill or an elliptical and have some incredibly fit trainer yell at you. And that's the key to losing weight and fitness and health. Certainly, exercise is important. I exercise. I do it, one, to feel good, two, to look good, and three, for my mental health. It allows me to burn off anxiety, fears, and then you like kind of, and whenever you're working out, you forget about a lot of the other stuff you have to do, so it puts you in the moment. Granted, the moment it puts you in hurts and is horrible. But it puts you in the moment. You can't think about how you're a failure at every other capacity or facet of life when you're out of breath. You know, you forget about how horrible your life is going. You forget that this weekend you're going to sleep in another Super 6 motel in a full-size bed with your brother who's 6'5". You forget that that's your life right now. You forget that your girlfriend doesn't love you. You forget those things when you're working out at the gym. That's what you forget. But The Biggest Loser makes you think that the only way to get healthy is through physical punishment, physically killing yourself through exercise. And it's, I swear to God, it's like 90% diet, 10% exercise. In fact, some studies have shown that exercise often makes you eat more, so you're just recompensating for those calories you lost. for the calories you wouldn't have. But if you're putting good food in your body, you're going to have a better body composition. Your insulin response is going to be healthier. You're going to lose weight. But The Biggest Loser doesn't tell, it doesn't really do that. It does show some, the thing is that like on TV, it's not interesting to watch someone eat healthy food. That's not good television. What is good television is having Jillian Michaels scream in someone's face and having someone break down and be like, my kids will never love me if I don't get fit. That makes for good television. I don't want to die by the age of 40. That makes for good television, having that breakdown. But eating a chicken breast with rice and spinach and tomatoes is boring. That's very, very boring. Granted, there's a lot of food shows, but there's no healthy food show. There really aren't any healthy food shows. Every food show is just pure food porn. It's like a chocolate bar deep fried covered in gravy. And it's like Guy Fieri being like, oh man, that's great. That dude must like hate his life, by the way. He must be so bored whenever they're filming that show. He must love his life, but must hate filming that show. Because that show, it is so repetitive. He doesn't even come up with new things to say on it. He says the same thing. Where he's like, oh man, that's kick ass. It's like, he just says variations of that. Or what he always says actually is, oh, you know what? And you know what this, when I eat this, you know what the kicker is? The kicker is the jalapeno on top. He always talks about the kicker. He always, what the fuck's a kicker? And when I watched one episode in a hotel and he said, and you know what the kicker is? 4 times in one episode. Dude, do a little variety in the way you speak. Change it up. Don't just describe like, oh, you know what the kicker is? The sauce. What the fuck's a kicker? I don't know what a kicker is. I don't know what a kicker is. So you tell me what, I don't know. It means nothing. And I don't know why I'm getting so mad at Guy Fieri. I shouldn't, because he doesn't do anything bad, but, you know, he's a waste of humanity. He's wasting people's time. What else do we do with our time? Who knows? But so here's my idea for The Biggest Loser is you have you show the first contestant, and this is the finale to see who wins. And the first contestant is someone who lost, you know, like 70 pounds. They're looking fitter. They're healthier. Second contestant lost, you know, 70 pounds also, way fitter. And then the third contestant for The Biggest Loser is a guy whose wife and kids left him because he's so addicted, because he's so committed to his fantasy sports league. I can't, because I think like a traditional way of doing that idea in the past would be like The Biggest Loser is some sort of like a nerd who's into Star Wars or Star Trek or something like that. That's what you would think, like, oh, it's a big loser. But I think the actual truth is nobody is a bigger loser than a guy who's really into fantasy sports. I mean, you can kind of casually be into it, but if you can't meet like regular social events because you have to do all Sundays has to be devoted to your fantasy team, and then like you're doing a draft and all you and your friends text and talk about is your stupid fucking fantasy sports team, dude, there's nothing dorkier than fantasy sports. Nothing dorkier. There's almost something even pathetic about really, 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 really being into sports. And that is coming from me, a guy who loves sports, enjoys watching sports. But I'm talking about people who, I had a friend who would watch every single Warriors basketball game. Every single Warriors basketball game when we went to Yale. And he would just watch it alone in his room. Now, I'll give the fantasy sports people, at least they're talking with their friends. At least they're interacting with people they know. Find some common ground with others. But he would watch Warriors games alone in his room on his laptop and wouldn't hang out with us. Dude, if sports are getting in the way of your relationships, rethink sports. We're not even playing them. You're watching them. I think maybe as I've gotten older, I've been like, I don't know if I can watch younger men succeed at stuff. You know? I don't know. You just, to me, in my head, I still think all those athletes are older than I am. In my head. In my head. They're all still, like, grown-ups, and I'm a kid. Maybe that's the secret, is you never really realize when you're, you never realize you're actually a grown-up. It just never happens to you. It never does. What do you think? The Biggest Loser idea ain't that bad either, you know? Kind of a twist at the end there. And then dialogue and jokes. That's where Brett comes in. He writes all the good jokes. I just come up with stupid premises. Oh, I got to share something with y'all. You know, last week I talked about Hunkmania. Hunkmania. And it would appear that it is a horrible show, which, you know, no shock there that the show sucks. Is that anyone's... Everyone could have figured that out, that, like, Hunkmania is not going to be a good show. My friend Danielle Kay, she's a great actress, really cool person. She messaged me about it, and I think I'd like to share what she said. Let me pull it up. It's pretty long and impressive, but God damn it, where is it? Oh, Hunkmania, what an expensive letdown. I want to see guys on a pole wearing thongs, goddammit. Dude, I can't believe I forgot to feature that experience in one of my stories. So we went for my friend Nini's birthday. It was a spur-of-the-moment decision because YOLO. So we go there because apparently there's no male strip club in the sense that you show up with singles and cigars. Very disappointing. That actually is kind of disappointing that the males, there's no male strip club that is, I guess, tasteful. I mean, female strip clubs, the ones that, like, straight men go to probably aren't that tasteful either, but there's probably something fun if you went to, like, I guess it's more of a cabaret, so of course leave it to a woman to want it to be like a tasteful cabaret when it's a strip club, which are always disgusting and dirty. Mind you, this place had like a 4.3 stars and the most reviews, so she's going with the reputable one here. So we figured, why not get there, $20 ticket, 2-drink minimum, another $22. Hey, welcome to entertainment. So we go inside. Instead of the Magic Mike experience that we desperately hoped for, these dudes literally just went around the crowd, which is like 150 women. Holy shit. That's so many. So many people for that show. By the way, we had to sit in the back section because sitting any closer was a VIP ticket. And I didn't bring my glasses, of course. Well, that was on you, but still. The guys proceeded to go around offering $20 lap dances. They were not lap dances. It was just group dry gangbanging. Like, holy shit. This guy comes up to me. This guy was, like, throwing around the women as if they were dolls. And my girls pay for him to give me a lap dance. I was like, no, no, no. And they were all like, yes, yes, yes. Motherfucker throws my back out, and I'm pretty sure strained my hip. So much dry humping in bachelorette groups from Jersey and Long Island. We felt like such weirdos, and we totally got ripped off. The place is a scam, and it's so sexist that I can't roll with my bitches, some cigars, and lots of singles. Men of amazing upper body strength, I want to see them on a pole. So there's the story, it was unreal. That's a great point, though. She just wanted to see a show. She wanted to see these guys, like, legitimately dance. Oh, and that's not all. I grabbed the manager on the way out and was like, your guy fucked me up. And he was like, he was too rough? Who was it? Show me. He then makes me fall back in the whole thing and point him out. I did it, because she threw her back out. And it was majorly awkward. The manager beelines right to him. And as soon as I saw that, she ran out of there. Never again. So, yeah. It was kind of exactly as I described, huh? It just looked really gross. It looked like guys rubbing their dicks on women. And they paid $20, so I guess that's the deal. But, yeah, it actually would be fun to see there was, like, a real show. Like, a show. I'm sure there is one. But I think it'd be more for, I think, like, I feel like that would, more guys, I think it'd be tough to find, to, like, fill out that show every single week. Certainly not every night. I mean, how crazy is it they have day shifts at strip clubs? Like, how addicted to strip clubs are you that at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday, you're going to the strip club? I mean, that is an insane level of addiction to strip clubbing that I thankfully do not have. I do not have that inside me. And wow, praise Jesus that that isn't inside me. But that reminds me of the, you ever see, like, those Star Weekly magazines or those, like, celebrity gossip rags that they're always at the, at the like CVS or at the grocery store that are always at the front. And everyone, every time you see one of them, you like pick it up and while your groceries are getting checked out and you flip through like 10 to 20 pages. You guys obviously know what I'm talking about. I always love the page that says the stars, they're just like us. And then it's a bunch of like photos of stars, like walk into places, like getting a coffee. And it's like, even then, no, stars are not like us. Because I have to work at that time. I can't just go to the gym at 3 p.m. and then do nothing after that like this star. My life is not like these stars. I'm worried about whether or not I can make enough money in this shitty-ass career that I've chosen. So yeah, the star is not like us. Sure, the star's carrying a cup of coffee, but at that moment, he's also being like, I have enough. This isn't going to set me back for this month at all. So no, that star is not like us. I'm going to put a thing that's like, stars are not like us. And it's going to be him getting into his fucking Lamborghini. I'll be like, that's not like me at all. I have a Honda Accord. It's sensible. Stars are not like us. Celebrities. Like, I wonder who the most famous person you've ever met. The most famous person I've ever met is Steven Spielberg. I ate dinner with him at Yale because freshman year, my roommate, Ben, liked me. And he is a network whore. Yeah, I'll go on the fucking record and say it. Ben's a network whore. That dude had gross written all over him. I like him. But he will not hang out with you if he doesn't think you can do something for him later. He's one of those types. I mean, there's all sorts of those types at Yale. Those kind of people. That's what you get when you go to these Ivy League schools. You get a lot of, like, the people who want to social climb so they can get to the top of whatever their career is. All of them, everyone at Yale thinks they're running for president all the time. But so that's who Ben is. My roommate. And he took a shining to me probably because I am who I am. This Midwest guy who runs his mouth too much and can be quite funny at times. So I go out to eat with them, and yeah, it was a Steven Spielberg. He's just a normal guy. Of course he was. What's the question always asks you? Everyone always asks you after if you meet a celebrity. What's that question always ask you? Everyone always goes, were they nice? And what do you say every time? Yes. George Clooney was very nice. Yes. Channing Tatum was very nice. Yes. Nicole Kidman was very nice. Yeah. Obviously they were nice. Why would they be mean? You're having a 20-second interaction with them in a setting that is totally controllable. And on top of that, everyone's always excited to see them. Everyone in the world, if any of those famous people walk into a room, everyone perks up and is like, holy shit! Can you believe Tom Cruise is here? What? If everyone greets you with positive energy, it is not hard to reflect positivity back. It is not hard. If all you have to do is just be like, oh yeah, I'm Tom, it's nice to meet you. That's all you have to do. And also, how often are people mean to you immediately? In day-to-day life, it always takes a little bit. The world is mostly civil. It is often civil. Being nice is easy when you know you have $50 million in the bank and a movie coming out. You know how easy it is for Chris Pratt to be nice to everyone around him? You got to be a real piece of shit to be shitty to people when things are going well. You know when it's hard to be nice? When things aren't good for you. That is when you really find out your true colors. So yeah, every celebrity is probably going to be nice in the interactions us normal people are going to have with them. Has anyone just walked up to you and been like, yeah, you're a real piece of shit and you'll never achieve whatever you want? FYI, I'm Harrison Ford. See you later. Why would that be an interaction you have with someone? Why would Of course every celebrity is going to be nice. I've even heard stories about Trump being a nice guy. Yeah. Because he shook his hand for 2 seconds at a golf event 15 years ago. Of course he's nice. It's so easy to be nice. You know how bad you got to be to have a reputation for not being nice? You got to be so awful. So awful. I was about to say some celebrities who I've heard are awful, but just in case I ever reach any amount of stratosphere in this career, I'm going to withhold the stories I've heard about celebrities right now. But yeah, I bet you wish I'd tell them. I ain't going to though, guys. I ain't going to. People are so boring with their money too. They spend their... Like celebrities, they build a big house, have the money, go on vacations. Come on. Be a little creative. Like, do something funny with it. Like, I would get a billboard. I'd buy all the billboards along, like, some highway. And I'd just, like, insult the drivers and be like, hey, you're a fucking loser. Hey, loser, look at this billboard. Like, I would put that on every single billboard. Or I just put something disgusting. Like, I just put photos of childbirth. So then, like, people on the highway just have to be... Because you can't... You have to look. You got to drive. And every billboard... You really do see every billboard. You see every billboard. So every billboard is just, like, some heinous photo of a child being birthed. And it's just for, like... hundreds of miles. Just hundreds and hundreds of miles of children coming out of the vaginal canal. And everyone on the highway is like, what is this? God, this drive is horrible. Why? Who would do this? Me. I would do that. Jordan Raybould. I would be the one to just ruin a long distance drive. Driving Ernie sucks. And Ernie is horrible. But I'd have to do everything I could to make it so terrible. To make it even worse. God, that'd be so fucking funny. It really would. I watched, stay in a lot of, you guys know I stay in a lot of motels. That's my life, is like motels. And you know what? I haven't died in a single one yet. They're so gross. When you stay in a motel, you're always like, it's just nasty. It's so gross. You know what's weird is at a motel is like people can just walk by and look in your room. That's one of the weirdest parts of staying in a motel is you're just like laying on the bed and then you see like three people just chilling outside your window, just kind of checking you out like you're an animal at the zoo. I've done that. I do that to people when I go to the motel. One guy had like, I think about 300 Monster energy drinks strewn about his motel room. It was disgusting. This guy must have like kind of had some sort of deal where he permanently lives there. It was at this motel I stayed in New Haven. And this motel was so gross. It said it had a continental breakfast. And they really use that term loosely, breakfast, because what they served was a loaf of Wonder Bread. No butter, no jelly, nothing else. What fucking Oliver Twistian breakfast is that? That is not breakfast. You can't advertise continental breakfast if you're serving Wonder Bread. And that's it alone. And coffee, they'd clearly been there for like 6 days. But I'm staying at this motel, and the comedians I'm with, you know, everyone sleeps more than I do because nobody wants to work as hard because they don't want to get up and start working and writing and thinking. They like to sleep in till 1 p.m. and then all of them like to wonder why they don't make it. I'll let you know why. Because while you were sleeping, I was writing. Such a fucking psycho. So fucking psychotic. But this, so I go down to the lobby and I take a book to read. I'm going to read a book in the lobby during the morning. And I get in there and first this old guy comes in. He's about 75 and he lives at this motel or something, but he starts talking to the woman behind the desk as if they're friends. So I assume he's been here many times and he basically lives here. And he then says, he's like complaining about his girlfriend, like wanting to hang out with him and talk to him. He's like a 75-year-old man. So hearing a 75-year-old man say girlfriend, you're like, oh, it's good you haven't given up on love. But you probably should at this point. But he's complaining. He's like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend, she keeps trying to talk to me and hang out with me. And the woman behind the desk is like, well, I think you should maybe just, be happy you have somebody. He's like, no, she's so annoying. It's so annoying. And actually now she's trying to, this is weird, but she's trying to get me to date her sister or something. And she's like, oh, well, that's crazy. That's really interesting. So I'm peeking up from the book and he goes, all right, well, I'm heading out. Have a good one. And then this guy leaves. And then in walks this woman and she reminds me of, you know, that meth head character, actress in Orange is the New Black, and she's also on Sons of Anarchy. I wish I knew her name, because she is a great actress. But she's cast type as, like, meth head. She just feels so methy. She looks it. She kills that role of, like, drug addict. So, this is a woman who looks like her. And she's like, I'm gonna fucking kill him. I'm gonna fucking kill him. They towed my car. They towed my fucking car. You're like, now I'm like, all right, this book is impossible to read. What's going on here? And and then she's like, yeah. And they fucking towed my car. I told them, don't fucking take my car. Take me into jail instead. And I'm like, wait, what? Is that an option when you like break the law? So they took her car and then she's like, and it's just all my kids are crying. And I told them, if they don't stop fucking crying, I'm going to make them swallow their teeth. And it's like, Jesus Christ. And I felt so bad for those kids and her because she's in clearly an impossible situation. But those kids, they have no shot if that's how their mom, you know, handles conflict. Granted, she's in a horrible situation with her car, it sounds like, has been towed and she doesn't seem to have the funds to go and get it because she's willing to go to jail over her car. And then in comes this big party of, so that woman leaves, and then in comes, this is over the course of like 40 minutes, in comes this party of six, I think, Indian women. I think they were Indian, and they start acting like speaking in sort of broken English, but clearly they understand English, but they don't, and they're asking sort of like, they're acting like they don't understand the questions that the woman behind the desk is asking. And then, like, they all kind of are moving around the lobby and walking around. Now, I'm totally paying attention. I'm like, what is happening right now? What the hell is going on? And then a couple of them kind of disappear. One of them goes, hey, where's the bathroom? And then the woman at the desk points them to the bathroom. And then this other one goes, what? Goes over to the soda machine and starts messing with the soda machine and acting like it, like, took her money but didn't get what she wanted. And then she and her daughter call this woman over. Now there's only like three or four women in the room when there were six. And I don't know where the other ones went. And then, so they call her over and she's asking broken English but being like, is there any diet drinks? I want a diet drink because I have diabetes. This is all in an Indian accent and like broken English. And then her daughter, who acts like she's a translator, she's like, her daughter being like a 24-year-old woman, it seems, is communicating this to the woman behind the desk, who has come out from behind the desk and is now over here. And then women start disappearing and these other women are making a bunch of racket on this side. And now there's only three women in the room. And then the woman behind the desk goes, all right, I don't know what the fuck is going on here, but something the fuck is up. And then she storms back behind the desk. She's like, I don't know what y'all are fucking trying to pull on me, but I'm calling the cops. And then right when she says that, one of the women starts having a coughing fit and acting like she's choking and falls down to the ground. She's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm calling the cops. And then out from behind the desk pops one of the Indian women. She went into the back managerial area and was probably trying to steal whatever. And then she goes, where the fuck do you come from? And that woman's like, bathroom. And then she goes, that's it. I'm officially calling the cops. She picks up the phone and starts dialing 911. And as soon as she did that, all six women sprint out into different directions like mice scattering. And then that woman looks at me and she's like, something was up, right? And I go, yeah, yeah. And she's like, yeah, I'm not crazy, right? And I go, they were up to something. I don't know what their plan was. I have no idea what they were doing, but I think I witnessed a weird attempted robbery. They're probably looking for a register behind the, in the managerial area. But that was like insane. And that's what I get when I stay in these motels. Also, that's one of the few places, like my generation, we don't really watch streaming live TV. We don't. We never really watch streaming live TV. We always watch things on Netflix. We watch YouTube. I have a friend who watches Hulu. I had no idea that that was even a possibility still. I didn't know anyone opted for Hulu over Netflix, but hey, she did. But that's one of the joys of staying in the motel, is that when you're at the motel, you get to flip through the channels like in the good old days and relive your childhood. And you end up watching things that you would never, ever watch otherwise. Like, we started watching like Fox News. Now, to be clear, you guys probably all know my politics are relatively independent. But there is nothing fucking dumber than Fox News. Oh my god. That show is so stupid. So stupid. It was a Tucker Carlson. And I don't want to. Tucker Carlson. Did they put out a casting call for white guy with the smuggest face? I've never, ever witnessed a smugger face than Tucker Carlson. He just oozes. Oozes smugness. The thing is, he's always like furrowing his brow, like he's listening intently, like he isn't just a fucking douche. So we're watching Tucker, and the topic they're talking about is they're talking about civility in politics, and he's interviewing, as Brett described them, a carousel of idiots. It's a carousel of idiots. He interviews all those people that work at, like one person he interviewed was the people who started that NRA, the NRA website, NRA TV. Does the NRA need a fucking TV channel? Do they? They don't. I'm going to answer my own question. They don't. You work for the NRA, you don't need a TV channel. You barely need a YouTube channel. But that's an extreme example of the idiot that he's interviewing. But they're talking about civility in politics, and he talks to this guy who worked for some Democratic group, and he actually seemed pretty reasonable. He seemed intelligent, but he couldn't get a point in because Tucker just kept interrupting him. And at one point, Tucker is like, "But do you think they were talking about like something that day? Like a bunch of protesters were yelling at some politician right outside his office, and I can't even remember what the issue was." This will be as bipartisan as possible. Does it matter what the issue is? No. And Tucker was like, is this really appropriate behavior? Shouldn't there be a little more civility? Like, shouldn't we be civil in the ways we interact with politicians? No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. They are our public servants. They work for us. Donald Trump is my bitch. Elizabeth Warren is my bitch. They work for us. Let's never forget that. They're not above us. They're below us. That's why they're public servants. They don't deserve us to be civil when they're not representing us well. Now, I said both all those names of people just to not, you know, choose a side. Because I think that all politicians should be screamed at all times. I do. If you want to yell turtle head at Mitch McConnell, have at it. He's a public servant. That's what you get. If you don't want people to heckle you in your day-to-day life, don't be a senator. Don't be a congressman. Don't do any of that stuff. If you want to be able to eat in peace, you want to be able to go out in public in peace, be a regular person. Be a regular dude. Okay? Have a family. Work at Sprint. Go to your kids' soccer games on the weekends. Now, if you want to get heckled at those soccer games, be a politician. That's part and parcel with the job. Because you're a public servant. And when you're not doing your job as determined by the people you represent, not as determined by you, it's their duty to make your life a living hell. Now, you're not allowed to physically confront anybody. You're not allowed to physically touch people. But I think heckling them is fine. I'm all for it. Make their lives miserable so that they rethink their positions. Or at least then go, you know what? I'm steadfast in what I believe and I don't care. I don't care that I can't eat at Red Robin anymore. I do not care. Y'all, I'm going to eat my burger here. And you all can keep chanting turtle head at me. All day. I don't care. Because I believe what I believe. And all of your shitty heckling won't change my mind. Yes, if you want them to listen, like, it's clear they don't listen through normal, respectable channels. It's clear normal, healthy forms of protest don't get their ears. Right? So why not be insane? Why not be incredibly difficult to all of these people? Do we need to? No. No. We don't need to be civil when they're not doing what we want them to do. They work for us. So, Tucker Carlson, no. And I know what, here's the thing he's doing, is he's doing that thing where it sounds nice. Doesn't it sound nice to be like, we should have more civility in politics? Doesn't that sound nice? It sounds nice. It does. But no, we shouldn't. We shouldn't have more civility out of us, the people being represented in politics. Now, I think when you're president, you should be a little more civil, perhaps. When you're president, you don't get to spout your mouth off and say whatever you want. Because you're setting national policy. You have to be civil. But I don't. You know why? I'm a regular person. That's why I don't need to be civil. I think it's hilarious that this restaurant denied Sarah Huckabee Sanders service, a couple of months ago. That's so funny. And it's great. If you don't want her eating there, she can't eat there. You're not denying her service based off of, you know, the color of her skin, her gender, any disability. No, you're denying it based off of who she is. I don't want you eating here. Get the fuck out. I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. That's the only power we have. It's the only power we have as people. I'd just take her money probably, though. Let's be honest, if it were me. I'd just let her eat it here. So, like, they go low, we go high shit? No. They go low, we go lower. If I go high, the person's going to take out my knees and tear my ACL. No. I go lower. I go lower than they go, so I fucking destroy their knees. Okay? They go low, Jordan goes lower. Some of the things I'm saying, I'm just trying to be funny. I don't even know. I'm sure you could pull up a podcast where I say, like, you know, you should be respectful to people. I'm sure that exists. That quote exists. But I'm trying to be funny here. I'm trying to be funny mostly. I'm trying to be entertaining. I'm saying things I think most of the time, but I also don't believe all of them all the time. You got to suss out which ones are real, which ones are fake. That's up to you. That's up to you as a listener to be like, does he really believe that? That's up to you. Right? That's up to you. Like my friend David Spector, we're out doing a weekend in the car, and he noticed a thing about me when I'm bored. When you're driving, you got to understand, you're so bored. It's so boring. Driving like 4 or 5 hours. Sorry about that. Some idiots call me. When you're driving 4 or 5 hours, it's like you lose your mind. You're like sick of music. I'm so sick of music. I can't listen to music anymore. You can't put a podcast on with other people in a car. That's like insane to do. That's like a crazy person move, is to turn on a podcast with two other people in the car. You're out of your mind. So you're forced to talk. And he noticed something about me is I often, when my mind wanders, I just say extreme viewpoints to get strong reactions to try to elicit laughs. That's what I'll do in the car. His example is me just wavering on a black, just randomly choosing to be completely Black Lives Matter, and then like 10 minutes later being completely Blue Lives Matter, and not even anywhere. And the, you know, if I had to really sympathize with one side, I had to sympathize 100% with the Black Lives Matter movement. But for comedic effect, it sure is fun to act like all you care about is cops. That is funny to be. There's an element of funny in that, to play a dope like that, okay? And, God, why am I telling? Anyway, so David was like, I figured it out. You just want us to just react to whatever you're saying, and you don't care about the rhyme or message that you're going with. You're just going for a reaction. You just want reactions. And I'm like, yeah, you pretty much nailed it there. I just want you to react to whatever I'm saying. So I am no better. I am no better than all of those bloggers out there. I'm no better. I'm one of them, I suppose. I guess I am a real piece of shit too, then, who just says whatever to get a strong reaction, hoping that you continue to listen and click through. I actually do think you should be rude to politicians, though, if they're not representing you. I'd stand behind that. I would. I would definitely stand behind that. You ever just look at
people and you're like so grossed out by them. Like just, they're just disgusting. Just disgusting. Just the things they eat. Just, you ever like watch a guy like walk through a museum and you're like, you're so fucking dumb. You're not going to fucking get any of this. None of this is going to mean anything to you. None of it. You ever, like, you watch a guy just like walk across a crosswalk and he's like eating a burger and it's just dripping down into his shirt and he like brushes it off, like even though it's sauce, so just rubs it into his shirt and he's slowly walking across the crosswalk and then it turns green and he's still in the middle of the crosswalk and you're just like, how the fuck are humans apex predators? We're at the top, baby. We're at the top. How is that guy at the top of the food chain, of every food chain? We're at the top of every food chain. We can eat every animal on earth. We eat every, if it's an animal, a person has eaten it. You can't say that about all the other animals.
You ever think lions look at a person and they're like, how did I lose to you? How did I lose to you? You're fat. You're dumb. You cry. You never see lions crying. How did we lose? How did humans? We're the apex predator. We dominate everybody. And yet we're so frail and useless. Some people now can't even run a mile. Can't even run a mile. But all those animals are so stupid that our stupidest human is smarter than them. The dumbest man on earth is smarter than the smartest dolphin. You know what I mean? Like a dolphin couldn't put on a seatbelt. We're that much smarter than all these animals. Our dumbest person is a genius. He's a genius pig. Our dumbest person is the smartest elephant. Crazy. Like humans are so successful that we keep even useless people alive. Useless people are thriving. Thriving. And procreating. Ultimately, that'll be the downfall. That's, I've heard this, what is it like? There's like a generational description of how like successful, this applies to successful and unsuccessful, successful cultures or periods of history. So like when, like for example, like in Rome, there's always like an ideal period where there's a, what is it? The wooden shoes becomes the slippers, the satin slippers. And it's like a way of describing like the generational progression of a culture. So when it's like, when you're in the wooden shoe area, that means like your country's works extremely hard and is on its way up. And it's has a lot of like tough conditions that end up teaching those people to be tough and productive. And then because of those people's eventual success, you then transition into the next generation, which is satin slippers. Now, the ideal scenario is when you have kind of both of those things. And I think America, perhaps, is slipping into the satin slippers era right now. Or even humanity. Let's go with humanity. It's gotten so nice out here for us that we're all wearing satin slippers. Where there are humans who have only felt the cold for 8 minutes at a time. I could live in my apartment and never leave indefinitely, really. I could live in this room I'm in right now and just have people deliver me shit. Just people just delivering all my food, all my water, and taking my waste bucket and throwing it out. I could make that happen. That shouldn't be possible. That really shouldn't. I should die if that's a life I choose. You shouldn't be allowed to do that. But humans have done so well that we can. We just outperformed every single animal to the point that we've done so well that we're destroying the place we live. I think we're almost destroying the place we live because we're like, as a species, we're bored. We're bored. And we're like, we need to make this more of a challenge. Because right now, you know, we got it pretty good. We got it pretty good. I mean, the only thing that really kills us is cancer. That's about it. It's the only thing that kills us. Like, I watch a lot of animals, hunting animals videos. Like, I watched one today, and it was a lynx hunting a white hare in the snow. And it was, like, pure athleticism, which I guess, you know, isn't valued in our, you know, I guess not important, isn't, I guess that, but also not a nice thing because I can pursue comedy. I mean, it would suck if I had to go fucking till all day and go hunting to actually eat.
But then also your cares would be way simpler. That's the thing with all these, like, I think our mental health is so low now compared to at one point. Because our lives aren't supposed to be lived this way. Like, you're not supposed to sit in a cubicle. Or you're not even supposed to just drive in a car to a place and tell jokes and leave. Like, that's not supposed to be your life. Like, your life should be about the struggle for survival. But we've overcome survival, so fuck it. Let's feel bad that we're not as good at painting as we want to be. That's where we're at right now. That's where I'm at anyway. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm doing my best. It's all I do know. It's all I do know. People forget that. People really do. It's so annoying when you don't have, like, great shows. That's, like, so frustrating. And when you're, like, and there's times when you're on and the audience is not. I felt that this past weekend in Kansas City. There was, like, one show where I was, like, I'm doing a really good job right now. And you guys aren't. And I did, like, two bits. Here's how my stand-up set goes. Is I always do, like, 10 or 15 minutes up top that I know is good. It's like worked out material that gets this effect every time. I'm always tinkering a little bit with everything I do on stage, but I'm always like, if I do these jokes, they get this response. That's where I'm at in my ability. And then I'll have fun, try to have fun after that. Fun being, I'll do like some new things then, because you've built trust with the audience that like you're not a fucking idiot and you're good at this. But I do my first like 6 minutes of material, and it is tepid. So tepid. So I'm performing at this place called the Red Front Barn Grill. Not happy about how it's going. I had 6 minutes, and it's just, you know? And I then look at the audience, about 50 people at this place. And I go, well, I guess you guys have all decided, let's have a really bad night tonight. I mean, I guess that's what you guys want to do. No, it's fine. That's what y'all want to do. Then that's what this is going to be. We can just have a really bad 40 minutes. And you start. Or we can have fun. It's up to you. Because you know what? I'm going to have fun. It just depends on what you want to do. You can do whatever you want. You think I'm happy that I'm performing at the Red Front Bar and Grill? You think I want to be here either? No, no, I wish this was a nicer venue. This isn't even a bar and grill. The grill doesn't work. This is just the Red Front. And I got a huge applause and everyone laughed, whatever, won him over. And then the show got decent for like 20 minutes because these people were like, all right, this guy is okay at this thing we're doing. And then it kind of petered out again. And you already yell at someone once, you can't do it again. And I was frustrated with how the show went ultimately. But here's what's annoying is then I get a review from someone. By the way, I have this audio on my fucking phone of me yelling at everyone and that doing really, really well. So I'm not a delusional idiot. Totally. And then someone like writes a review of the show where they're like, they give me one star and they're like, the comedian even had to yell at us because we weren't laughing at his quote monologue. Shut the fuck up, you person that's never created anything. You've never done anything. And here's why I'm mad. I'm fine. If I legitimately do really bad and someone writes something like that, I do take it on the chin. I didn't do bad after that. That monologue, me yelling at everyone, that actually worked. It actually worked. If you want me to send you the audio, hit me up and I will send you, audience person right now, audio of that shit working for you fucking idiots. Okay? So don't act like that was a bad part of the show. And that's an unfortunate part of stand-up comedy, is that you, audience, has to show up. That's what's nice about music. You can just craft that shit in your garage. And you can hear it and be like, that's good. But unfortunately, for stand-up, I have to take this to your face and hit you over the head with it. And then find out how it goes. People are like, That's why I respect those protesters who go and harass politicians face to face. They're doing it face to face. They're letting them know face to face what they thought. That is valuable impressive and takes courage. Too many people just, you know, type mean shit that they would never say to your face. They would never say it in a million years. Cowards. All of them. All right. Yo, thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. If you're that lady from the Red Front Bar and Grill, if you want to say it to my face, I shouldn't give my address out, but I live in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and we can find a place, and you can let me know what you think of my comedy. I would love to hear it. Because you know what? I already know how it went. I got the laughs. Or didn't. Based off of what I said, okay? Y'all can check out my sketches, Rabel Brothers. Go to my website, jordanrabel.com, for some of my tour dates. I'm going to be on the East Coast. I'm going to be in Dallas, and I'm also going to be in Dallas around Thanksgiving, and then I'm going to be, I believe, in Richmond around Christmas. I'm finalizing the dates and the venue right now. Otherwise, I'm going to be in New Haven, Philly, Maryland, Lincoln, all over the place, you know? Just look me up if you care. Wait a second, that was so sad. Y'all, thank you so much. Have a great night. Bye.